Good morning. Good to see you guys. Y'all alive and well? Yes. Braving the rain and the tornadoes, the hail, all of it. Welcome to Louisiana. If you're not from here, I'm sorry. It's good to have you guys here today. We are continuing on with our series, Goliath Must Fall. And the premise of the whole series is that we have giants in our life, that the enemy sends our way to keep us from walking in victory. And today, we've already talked about fear. We've talked about rejection, those two giants. Today, we're talking about the giant of comfort. This is the hardest message for me in this whole series. And so today's message was written for me, and you just get to be a part of it. So it's convicting for me. So I don't want you to think that I'm coming at you with a big hammer, because God came after me with this big hammer and really hammered it home even this morning for me. And I didn't know what I was even going to say, though I have a lot of notes and notes on top of my notes with highlights. So if it's a little different, can y'all forgive me? Here's what I pray that you can receive, because what I want us to really begin to question, what has God called us to and what keeps us from reaching and fulfilling that call? So I'll start with the question that I asked myself. Am I comfortable? Am I comfortable? Now here's the thing. I like to be comfortable. Anybody ever wear shoes that are too small? You ever had to do that? You ever had to cram your feet into shoes that are too small? Anybody, come on, help me out here. How's that feel? You like that? No, nobody wants that. Nobody wants shoes that are too small. You ever had to drive in somebody else's vehicle that you're all cramped up in or that's too far away? I don't know about the too far away, but my mom is like this big and I get in her vehicle and she's like, don't mess with my seat. And then I get into it and it's like, I can't actually drive because she's 5 foot nothing and I'm trying to, and I got really long legs. And so, is that fun? No. Who here likes to be comfortable? I do. I love being comfortable. But let me just tell you right now that the giant of comfort is not a giant like fear or rejection or addiction. See, nobody likes those giants. But the reality is that we really like the giant of comfort because he makes us feel good. The giant of comfort makes us think that we can control him. But let me just remind you, you cannot control the giants in your life. You can only defeat them or be defeated, one of the two. And I'm just convinced, I mean, like I said, this message is for me, that the giant of comfort is what the enemy uses to distract us and keep us from fulfilling the purpose of God. We don't even see it, but we end up in a prison, just a really posh one. That's a British word. It means really fancy and nice. Nobody here, I would think, wants to go to prison. Nobody says, I'd love to go to prison. Sounds like a joyride to me. Nobody wants to go to prison. But what if your prison was the size of California and had every comfort and convenience you ever wanted? Would you go then? Maybe. Maybe so. At the expense of missing what you know God's called you to, man, California's really beautiful. It's great. A lot of fantastic things there. Love it. It's a great state. Am I comfortable? Am I comfortable physically? I like to be comfortable physically. Am I comfortable relationally? Everything seems to be going good. Let's let it coast. See how that goes. Vocationally, am I okay? Like, yeah, jobs, whatever, yeah. Academically, do you want to learn something else, or are you just okay with what you know so far? What about spiritually? So here's the thing. Growth is painful. Growth's painful. I've got a lot of stuff that I just wrote out. I probably would do better just reading some of this. Here was my next question. Have you ever postponed a commitment? I'm just gonna let that hang there. Have you ever postponed a commitment? That stuck with me. Because comfort and commitment often butt heads. Safety and security become dominant themes in our life. Safety and security. I like both of those. I don't want to feel unsafe or insecure. Nobody here wants those things. But the enemy uses that desire that we have for security and safety to get us to the place that we never step outside of what is comfortable, and we never get to the place that God has for us, because the reality is that life is hard and difficult. And when you look, when you turn to do the right thing and you turn to follow Jesus, the whole world comes against you. And listen to me carefully, that's not comfortable. Our life may boil down to only 5 seconds that really count. Are you ready for that? Because if you're not prepared for that moment, when it comes, you're gonna miss it, you're gonna hesitate, because it may be very far outside of your comfort zone. Like I'm looking at the giant of comfort and going, I kinda like that giant. He's a nice giant. He's not cursing me out. He's saying, hey, why don't you have some more mint chocolate chip ice cream? Bluebell. What? I love that. My wife bought that this week for the kids. They had a bowl this big. I had a tub. It was great. Not really. But isn't it true that, like, we want to be satisfied and comfortable with everything in our life? Is that just like human nature? Come on, guys. Y'all help me out. Of course it is. Everybody likes to be comfortable, and it's not wrong to be comfortable. But when your comfort is the very thing that's keeping you from the place that you know God has for you, it's a problem. I mean, God just convicted me on this, and I don't like it, because it means that I have to do something. And let us forget that our faith is not simply what we believe. We act because we believe. And if our actions don't line up with what we say we believe, we don't actually believe it. Because at the end of the day, and now maybe this is a Jewish perspective, it kind of is, at the end of the day, if we truly believe, we'll do something. But a lot of people have trouble acting on their faith. We say that, but the reality is, like, we act every day, every moment of every day on our faith. So if I go, well, man, I should be doing more for God, the problem is that I only believe that he can do so much. That's why I don't do much myself. Am I comfortable? That was the question. Am I comfortable? You know, we planted the church 12 years ago. And I asked myself, would I do it again? I don't know. That's hard. It was hard. It was really, really difficult. We had sold our house in Broussard right after Katrina and Rita, and made just gobs of money because people were buying everything, and it was insane. And the day that we put the house for sale, we felt like the Lord told us, put your house for sale. The day we put it for sale, that afternoon we stuck a sign in the for sale by owner. That night we had a contract on it for asking price, which was a crazy high asking price. We sold it, and we moved. My grandmother was in a nursing home, and we moved into her place and renovated her place in exchange for free rent for almost 2 years. And then God called us to plant a church here. And we had had a nice little nest egg to buy a home. And we thought, well, we'll have a nice place in Lake Charles, but then we didn't know anybody, and this place was for sale for $1 million, and I'd never preached before. I'd been a kids pastor, and we didn't have any money. And so from the time we went, we're going to plant a church, it's going to be in Lake Charles, to the time we had our first service was less than 8 weeks. And in that time, we saw that this facility was for sale, and we knew nobody in Lake Charles, but we felt like the Lord said, buy the building. And so I had to sign on the dotted line along with a couple other people that were like, hey, we'll take the note if this thing doesn't work out. That's kind of scary, by the way. That's a big risk. Particularly when you've never preached to adults before. It was scary, but we did it. And we got financed because, you know, when you put up your whole life and other people put up their whole lives, banks will finance you. And they financed us for $800,000, but we had to come up with $200,000 cash. I don't normally tell this story, by the way. And we had that nice nest egg. And so in our comfort, we said, God, we know that you're going to provide that $200,000. But if by some chance you don't, we can touch our nest egg. When it came down to closing, we were literally within just a few hundred, we were short the 200,000, but it was almost within the tens of dollars, not the tens of hundreds or the tens of thousands, it was the tens of dollars with how much money we had to our name. And we didn't even hesitate. We wrote a check and pretty much zeroed the account. Had, I don't know, 17 bucks, 13 bucks, something like that. Babe, do you remember the exact amount? It was about that much to our name. I'm not saying that because that was God, and we knew it. And it was awesome. It was exciting and wonderful. I don't know if I could do it again. That's why I'm preaching this message. This is not a message that I'm condemning anybody, but letting you hear the processing of, like, God, what do you want to do in me? What do you want to do in me? So many people are scared of risk. And the giant of comfort comes out and coddles us. 1 Samuel 17, 16, for 40 days, every morning and evening, the Philistine champion strutted in front of the Israelite army. The whole army, every soldier knew the risk of facing the giant. So you know what they did? They didn't do anything. They chose comfort. Here's what happens if we heed the giant of comfort. We miss opportunity because we choose safety. We get lulled into a false sense of security. In the long run, that becomes very dangerous. If we heed the giant of comfort, we can have an it's my life mentality or whatever makes me happy mentality and not even realize it. If we heed the giant of comfort, we can choose a good thing but miss the God thing. If we heed the giant of comfort, we can grow comfortable with small sin until it becomes big sin, and then it's too late. Listen, you may be here and you're not a serial killer. You're not going to go to jail for tax evasion. Maybe you're honorable and you're honest. But if you just stay comfortable, you might miss the whole purpose for why you were created. Because it can boil down to just a few seconds. Because you never know the impact that other people may have on your life and the impact you have on others. The soldiers knew the risk of facing the giant, so they didn't. This is the majority of Christians today, I believe. Not excluding myself necessarily. David knew it was not a risk. Here's why. Because God was guiding his path. God was guiding his path. He trusted God with all of his heart. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, my number one life verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He will direct your path. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Trust in God with all of your heart. How could David, this kid, step out and face this huge giant? He didn't view it as a risk because he had heard from God. He had seen God operate in his life. And let me tell you, that's the only reason that Lisa and I were able to do what we did. It wasn't because we were really great or we were really naive. It was because we knew what God had in store. And listen to me today. God still has the same dream that he always had for what's happening on these grounds, in this building. It's to see people trust him with every facet of their being and not get so comfortable and complacent that they miss what it is that God created them to do and to be. And that's hard. So, so hard. God is good I'm just reading through my notes. Probably the best way to do them is God is good, but he's not safe. God is not safe. All you have to do is read the Bible and realize that God is a good God, but he is not safe because he sent his own son, who was him, ruminate on that for a while, to give his life and risk everything. I want you to remember that Christianity is rooted in discomfort, primarily Jesus's. But if I say that I'm a follower of Jesus, but I shun discomfort, I'm ripping up the root of the foundation of suffering in the Bible. I don't like this message. I don't like preaching a message that says, hey, you're gonna suffer. But welcome to this world. We all suffer at some point. Jesus said in John 16, he's talking about him having to go away. He's telling his disciples in a roundabout way, and then ultimately very clearly, hey, I'm going to leave you. And then he talks about all of the difficulties that they're going to have. And he says this in John 16, 33. I have told you these things so that you may have peace. Hey, everything's gonna be really miserable. I'm not gonna be with you guys for a while, but I'm telling you this so that you can have peace. Because, and then he says this, in this world, you're gonna have trouble. I don't like that Jesus says that, but it's true. In this world, you will have trouble. But then he says this amazing thing. He says, but you take heart because I've overcome the world. So how do we overcome this giant of comfort? Here's the first thing. Number one, you have to let pain have a purpose. You have to let pain have a purpose. Discomfort builds faith. Discomfort builds faith. It's Hebrews 5:8 says, although talking about Jesus, although he was a son, he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. When you walk through suffering and you allow it to have a purpose and recognize that God never wastes a drop of pain, that he will use it for something if you let him, and you go, my pain will have a purpose. You get to the place where you can embrace the discomfort, not because you like it, that would be sadistic and weird, but because you recognize that God will use it in the future. Let pain have a purpose. You will not get out of this life without pain and suffering. I'm sorry. And listen to me. I believe the prosperity gospel. I believe that God is for us. But if we think that prosperity is, oh, I'm going to be wealthy, I'm going to have every need met. Man, we'll quote scripture. My God shall supply every one of my needs according to his riches and glory. Philippians 4:19. I love it. It's a life verse. But let me tell you, you might not need your car. You might not need money to eat at that restaurant. Like we, it's amazing how often we say, God, you're gonna supply my needs. And then we ask him to give us our wants. Once again, this is my message that God's dealing with me on. This morning, I sat in my office at about 9:10 and went, I didn't even know what to say. Like I got all this stuff, but like, what do I say? And then I wrote at the top, am I comfortable? And God just went, bam. Galatians 2:20. Paul writes this, my old self has been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And if you follow Jesus long enough, eventually everything that was done to him will be done to you. But he learned obedience through the things which he suffered. Let your pain have a purpose that makes you more like Jesus. Our world is so fundamentally broken. And the whole premise of this series is that you can live in freedom, but you have to be willing to walk through misery, because freedom, man, sometimes it costs a lot. Let me just remind you, bondage doesn't cost you anything. It's easy to say what you want, go where you want, click on what you want. It is easy to buy what you want if you have the money. You turn from the flow of this world that's going this way. That's easy to live like this, but when you turn and you start following Jesus, that gets hard. And you will encounter pain and difficulty. Let the pain have a purpose. Romans 6:7, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. Romans 6:7, when we died with Christ. So here's the question I wrote. Am I willing to die for Jesus? Here's my question to you. Are you willing to die for him? It's rhetorical. Don't answer out loud. Are you willing to die for Jesus? I think many of you would say yes. Okay, then the next logical question would be, are you willing to be inconvenienced for God's purpose? You be willing to be inconvenienced for God's purpose? It's just the body of Christ, like in America, it's a fact. 20% of people do 80% of the work in the body of Christ. 20% of people give 80% of the finances. That means about 80% of the people don't want to serve and don't give anything financially. And yet they're going to say they're going to die for Christ. Y'all don't fuss at me. I'm not trying to be condemning here. I promise I'm not. But that doesn't add up. And I'm not up here throwing stones. I'm going, Lord, I say I would die for you. Am I willing to be inconvenienced? Am I willing to give you my first and my best? It's my mornings. It's my relationships. 2 Corinthians 12:10, Paul says, I take pleasure in my weakness and in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and the troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I'm weak, I'm strong. How do we overcome the giant of comfort? Let pain have a purpose. Here's the second thing. Know that it's not about me. It's not about my pain and my misery, my trials, my suffering that I may have to walk through. Let me just tell you, it's not even about me. So how do I overcome the giant of comfort? I let my pain have a purpose and I stop running from pain when anytime I turn to do what God wants me to do. Let me just tell you, don't be surprised when you start turning to God, turning from your ways, turning from your sin, and you turn to Jesus. Don't be surprised for two things. The first is God will give you a grace when you do that for the first time. You're like, this is the easiest thing in the world. And then he removes that grace and goes, all right, baby, now you ready for the real world where there's an enemy who hates you. There's a giant, the spiritual demonic giants that want to crush you like a bug. And now you're going to have to face them. You got to recognize that when that pain starts becoming a reality, there's a purpose that's bigger than you. So you got to let pain have its purpose, but you got to know it's not about me. My second life verse is this, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called to his purpose. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called to his purpose. God, I love you. I'm called to your purpose. So I know that all things are going to work together for good. All of the misery, all of the suffering, all of the pain, all of the problems. I'm going to step out of discomfort because I know that if I do that, that good things are coming. Yes, this is true. But here's what we got to realize. Maybe the good things that are coming are not for you. They're for somebody else. You're just going to be the delivery person to them. And you got to suffer all of that for nothing in this life. I don't like that. But when you realize it's not about you, you'll do what you don't want to do so that you can become what you know God's called you to be. I was about 8 years old. This left such a mark on me. I can remember it like it was yesterday, exactly where I was. I was in a Sunday school class in a very traditional church. And my Sunday school teacher's name was Mr. Vaughn. And I knew, like, even as a kid, I could discern. I could tell he loved us and he wanted to be there with us, but he was scared to death of us too. And I remember every week he'd have his, and they had lessons. So there's like eight kids, you know, between six and eight kids. And he'd sit down with eight-year-olds and the paper would shake and his voice would crack. I'm not exaggerating. And because he was so scared, so nervous. Like, it was painful for him. But he did it anyway. And you know what? I bet that man has nobody ever came to him and said, you know what? You had an impact on my life. Many times we don't want to step out of the place of comfort into the place of discomfort. We don't want to get into an uncomfortable situation because we don't like being uncomfortable and awkward. Nobody likes that. I'm so grateful for Mr. Vaughn, who was a kid, that I realized that even though he was scared, I remember it like it was yesterday, and his voice would shake it, and he was nervous. He was fine, but anytime he had to teach, he would shake it, and you could tell it was just awkward and weird. But let me tell you, it didn't matter what he said. It was what he did that spoke volumes to me, because it wasn't about him. And he faced the giant of discomfort. And to this day, I'm 43 years old. Today, I remember Mr. Vaughn, and it's a source of inspiration and strength, because I watched a man operate in faith and disregard the discomfort and the awkwardness to teach an 8-year-old kid. Am I comfortable? I'm gonna be honest, the answer is yes, 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 I'm comfortable. And God's called us to live with purpose. We need more motivation than just personal freedom. The whole premise is you can live free. Your freedom is not for you. I mean, you're a part of it, but it's for others. And the biggest giant I really believe in so many people's lives is the one that they love the most. I'm comfortable. Philippians 2:4. Don't look out for only your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Comfort is all about me. When was the last time I stepped out of my comfort zone to reach out to somebody? Step outside of your comfort zone, please. It pays big dividends. Number 3, realize it's just for a moment. How do we overcome the giant of comfort? Let pain have a purpose. Know that it's not about you. But you also have to realize it's just for a moment. In the middle of pain, it seems like it's gonna last forever. But let me just remind you, it's this long. It's just for a moment. But here's the problem. A moment is all we had, because every one of those snaps, I'm not getting any of them back. But before you know it, you're gonna be old. Your life's gonna be coming to an end. And the enemy is completely and totally fine with having distracted you with comfort. Here's an interesting tidbit. The great champion, Goliath, never attacked. He just showed up for 40 days and ran his mouth. And everybody there was so afraid to risk something that they listened to him day after day after day. Like maybe, I know that the enemy would love it that if you all became axe murderers, I'm pretty sure he'd be totally okay with that. But why would he do that when he can just distract us with something shiny? It's like a cat toy. I've got a cat, don't necessarily like it, but I have a cat. It's not in the house a lot, but it's in the house more than it should be. Still a good cat. But that cat is the smartest dumb animal I've ever seen, or the dumbest smart animal, however you want to do it. Let me just square this up so my wife and my kids don't hate me. I kind of like the cat, but it's easily distracted. Oh, look, one of my sons tied a piece of ribbon to a string and it entertained the cat for hours. And we go, what a dumb animal. Where's the remote? The enemy's just as happy to keep you distracted, to keep you in a place where, oh, look at this over here, because he knows that if he can immobilize you, you'll never go out to actual battle. And he doesn't want that, because he knows when you do, he loses and you win, because God's with you. Here's the lies. I've got time. I'll do the whole God thing when things calm down, when the kids get out of school, when I get a raise, after the wedding, when school lets out, after graduation, please, when it's not so crazy. Let me just say this. Life is not going to slow down. You're going to have to. Get outside of the place of comfort. 1 Corinthians 9:26, Paul writes and he says, "So I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing." And then in Ephesians 2:10, which I love this verse, he says, "We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." I'm his masterpiece. I'm alive in Christ. What good things have I done? That's my last question I'm asking me. What good things have I done? Or have I just been in the place of comfort? I only had like a little bowl of the mint chocolate chip ice cream, but I had it like 20 times, you know? It's gone. Like, it's out of the house completely. I just put it out of the house because the bucket was empty. It's easy to give in to what's comfortable, but it's not worth it. God's called us to reach thousands and thousands and thousands of people across this region with the truth that he knows them, he loves them, he has a purpose and a plan for them. And the tactic of the enemy is to create a string with a piece of ribbon on it for each of us to keep us from fulfilling the call of us being God's masterpiece so that when people look at us, they see his beauty. They go, "Wow, that's amazing." So let's be that. Let's be that. We have to be the ones who are going to create the culture of worship, culture of honor, culture of serving, culture of love. We have to live it. We have to be it. We have to do it. And how we are living is a picture of how much faith we have. I pray that you can grow in your faith. I don't want you to operate under the influence of the giant of fear, rejection, or anger, or addiction. A lot of people deal with each of those, and I think in some respect, all of us deal with some element of it. But I think the biggest giant in many people's lives is comfort. So maybe you're here today, and this message was for you, and you've been really comfortable. And today you know God's saying, "Hey, I've got a purpose for you. You've been really comfortable where you are. I'm calling you to step outside of yourself." If that's you, and you say, "Pastor, this is me. I know it." If that's you, just stand up where you are. I'm gonna make you uncomfortable right now. How many of you say, "This is a message for me, I know it"? Come on, stand up. That's you, just stand up. Everybody's staring at you. A little awkward. It's okay. Father, I just pray right now for those that are standing. Know that you are dealing with them, that God, that you're calling them to you. Lord, I thank you that it's your conviction that gives us life and hope. Father, I just pray that you order their steps. In Psalms 119:105, your word is a lamp to their feet and a light to their path. You show them the next step in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give God a hand and stand? Everybody stand to your feet. Here's the deal. If you walk out of here, can we put the last tile up on Ephesians 2:10? If you walk out of here feeling like, "Gosh, I'm just a failure. Like, I'm not doing anything good." I just want to clarify. there's a difference between condemnation and conviction, because if you feel I'm no good, I'm terrible, I can't, I'm doing nothing, let me just remind you, that is the tactic of the enemy to keep you condemned and feeling like a piece of garbage because I'm not doing enough. That's condemnation. But conviction says this: oh my goodness, God's called me to be his masterpiece. I see that I haven't been fulfilling that, but I'm filled with hope because I know God is with me and I'm gonna follow him. And I pray that you walk out of here today, not with condemnation. If you're walking out here feeling like junk, let me just tell you right now, you're believing a lie of the enemy. God is like the father in the story of the prodigal son. He's waiting for you to turn to him. And maybe you're here today and you know that God's dealing with you and you need to surrender your life to Christ. As we dismiss in just a few minutes, in just a few moments, really, you see the cross is projected on the sidewall. Our ministry team's going to be there. If you guys can go there now, ministry team. If you need to connect with somebody because you know God's dealing with you, please go pray with them. They've been waiting all week for this moment. And I'm just telling you, listen to me carefully. God will use us to reach a region. He'll use us to plant campuses. He'll use us to reach the thousands that are not here yet. We're a church that exists for those who aren't here yet. And I'm honored to be a part of it. And I'm telling you, God's at work in us. Do you feel it? I hope you do. Father, thank you for your hand on our lives. Lord, I just pray that we can walk in the truth that you've created us to be your masterpiece. May we trust you in every area of our lives. May we disbelieve the lie of the enemy that tells us that we don't need to do this or be that or go there because it's uncomfortable, but may we trust you as we follow in your footsteps, Jesus. In your name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Love you guys. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, you come. Have a great Sunday.